Welcome to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Their goal is to win the lost, disciple Christians, set the captives free, and see the sick made whole. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org. Now, here is Pastor Gary Culp with today's message.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. What do we know for sure? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's pray for souls. We want everyone to go to heaven, so we're at least going to pray for the salvation of every boy and girl, man and woman in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. Father, we're praying for their past, present, future spouses, and all the children they have now and the future and their family members, all grandchildren they have now and the future and their family members, all great-grandchildren they have now and the future and their family members. By faith, we're sending the Holy Spirit to convict every person of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Lord Jesus Christ, please reveal yourself to each person, your incarnation, your perfect life, the great miracles you did, your death, burial, and resurrection, your precious atoning blood, the revelation and understanding by your stripes we were healed would come to every boy and girl, man and woman. And Father, they'd humble themselves before you, repented their sins, receive you, Lord Jesus, as Savior and Lord, being born again from above. And then we pray you get every person, Father, into a good Bible-believing teaching church, that then be baptized in water, receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We pray for every Christian to become a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're praying for every demon-possessed, demonized, and captive person to be set free. And yes, Lord Jesus, all the sick to be healed from every sickness, disease, weakness, no matter what it is. And we also pray for your people to receive the full blessing of Abraham, whom God blessed in all things. And we agree for that right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we're praying for our nation. Father, we declare God bless America. Heavenly Father, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only true God. Father, we ask that you would send that great end time revival. We're crying out to it, Father. We know you've given us a little reprieve through Donald Trump, but Father, we know the rapture's near, and that's good. But Lord, we know you want to see a harvest of souls, millions of people to get saved. So we're crying out for that. And we're praying for the church to repent also of their sins, Father. And we're praying for all the gifts of the Holy Spirit to become manifest and demonstrated, not just in the church, but in the marketplace, everywhere we go, Father. We're believing for that. Father, we ask your hand would be upon Donald Trump and his family, J.D. Vance and his family and all his cabinet appointees. We're agreeing together, Father, that if they're not saved, they would become born again and spirit-filled. Father, we pray your hand would be upon it and on them. And whether they know it or not, Father, you would guide them and they would make all their decisions based on the truth of your word and our Constitution. And you would give them great grace and boldness and protection. And Father, because of the revelation you've given us about the end times, we're continuing to cry out for your mighty hedge of protection and angelic protection about our power grid. Heavenly Father, please protect our electricity, our gas, our oil, our coal. Father, please protect our water tables, which includes the water in our wells and city water. Father, we're desperate for rain. Father, we're in agreement together. We command this high dome to get out in Jesus' name. We call forth the low fronts. And Father, I'm praying for everyone who's listening with 2 to 3 inches of good soaking rains this week, next week, and we get completely caught up on our rain and have cooler temperatures. Father, we're asking for this good gift, this good thing, and believing you for it in Jesus' name. Also, Father, we ask you to protect our food supply, our farms, our farmers, our food production plants. We agree together, Father, that you would allow no person, group, or nation to in any way poison, hack, diminish, destroy, or evil affect any of these resources. And if any person, group, or nation tries to do that, you would stop them. And if they persist in their evil, Father, you would destroy them. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Also, Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Oh, we love the Jewish people. Father, please remove the blinders and scales off their hearts and minds. Allow them to truly see, Lord Jesus, that you are their Messiah, you are Savior and Lord, and they'd be born again from above and spirit-filled. Father, we agree with your word. They have title deed to all the land of Canaan, Oh, Father, restore all that land to them and give that revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to the Trump administration. We declare there will never be a two-state solution which will bring the judgment of God upon the person and nation that would try to do this. So stop this evil, Father. Don't let it come to pass in Jesus' name. Also, Father God, if anyone tries to harm the nation Israel or Jewish people in any way, shape, or form, you would stop them. And if they persist in their evil against them, you would destroy them. And that's according to your word. And we agree together and we thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, really, this is kind of a part two. We started in John chapter 14. We didn't get very far. So we'll be in verse 10. End time signs. Well, probably the greatest thing is if you keep track at all with the news and things like that, there is rising up in our nation three evil ways of doing things called socialism, Marxism, communism. These systems were ordained by Satan. They're born in hell. Sad to say, they've been taught in our colleges. They've been perverted. So they are a great danger. And we this nation will eventually succumb to that once the church is raptured out. But until that time, we needed to take a stand and try to protect our nation from this wicked ideology. And also, they're determined to destroy America, to change things. The path that was established years ago, they're trying to say they have new ideas, which again were born in hell, to destroy our nation. But not only are they trying to destroy our nation, then there's Islam. You know that if you really believe the Quran and practice it, you would be like the terrorist in Iran. You would hate the United States of America, you would hate Israel, and you would want to kill us and kill the Jews. Do you understand that? The people over there, they're just practicing, believing, just like we're Bible-believing, teaching Christians who practice what the Word of God says, that's it. They do the same with Quran. And again, then they have the political ideology that goes along with it and Sharia law, and it's evil. It's completely against our society and against what we've established in this nation. So these two entities, Islam and socialism, Marxism and communism, are coming together as bedfellows to destroy America. So you need to pray against it. You need to be equipped. And we've got to get souls saved because Jesus is taking us out here very soon. Remember, it was established years ago. Good has become evil. Evil has become good. And God says, I'm not going to put up with that very much longer. So be ready to go to heaven. That's a good thing. But let's get more people saved. And let's get this nation stabilized, at least temporarily, until the church is raptured out of here. And I pray that you're doing your part and let that revival begin in you and I. Okay, those are the two big things, what's going on now. And again, we'll keep updates as things go on. John 14:10. Jesus is speaking. He's going to get ready to go to the cross. So he's given good and teaching instruction to his disciples, to his followers, and that's you and I, right? Okay. Jesus says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?" Okay. Did you hear that? Okay. Now this, if you understand this, this will help you when we get to verse 12. "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father," you hear that? "Heavenly Father, Jehovah God, that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Okay, keep that in mind. Now, I've always taught, and it's true, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost, and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So I've always focused on the fact that Jesus did everything he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. But you know, the thing that I've neglected is to tell you, he also did it because Father God was dwelling in him and empowering him and showing him what to do. So get that picture. I just read it to you. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So Father God can be on the throne and still be in Jesus, his eternal Son. Keep that in mind. Okay. believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. In other words, he went about healing the sick, casting out demons, doing miracles of provision, raising the dead. Oh, that's our Jesus. Amen. He proved who he was. Okay. And his works bore witness that he was from God, that he was the Messiah. He was the Savior and Lord that was to come into the world. Okay. Now, here's something very exciting. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Okay, believers. Let's talk about born again Christians. Are you one of those? If not, please get saved. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Did you hear that? And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Well, I know Jesus went to the Father. You know that, right? He died on the cross and rose again. Shed his precious blood for eternal life. Went to the whipping post, and by his stripes you were healed. But again, that's a different message. So Jesus went to the Father, and Jesus is telling them those who are believers, born again ones, will do what I did in greater works. Okay, well, let's read a couple more verses. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, so Jesus says you have authority to come to the Father in my name and ask for these things, that, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. Okay. Verse 12 said we would do it. Verse 13, Jesus said, I will do it. Let's keep that in mind. Let's go ahead and finish the verse and read the next one. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Well, we want the Father to be glorified in Jesus, don't we? If you ask anything in my name, and again, I will do it. Who will do it? Jesus will do it. Well, isn't that a little bit confusing? Verse 12 told us, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. That's you and I, the believers. And even greater works. And for most people, that just blows their mind and seems unreal. Well, that can't be real. Well, Jesus doesn't lie. You do. I don't even know you, and you're a liar. And you ever disagree with God and what he says, you're practicing lying, and you need to repent. No, Jesus, who cannot lie and tells the truth, again, initially says, we'll do it. Then he says, you're asking things in my name, and I will do it. Well, how will that be? Okay, here it is. You got this? You ready? Just like Jesus did his miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit, remember, which came on him at the baptism, okay? Also, Father God was showing him what to do and doing those things through him. Okay, the Bible says that. That has to be a sin. Okay, now Jesus says we're going to do it. And then he says he will do it. So how do we make sense of this? Well, having good theology will help you with this. Here it is, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, the last part of it. The mystery, what's the great mystery of the church? Here it is. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know who's going to heaven? Those who Jesus Christ lives in them. Does Jesus live in you? He only comes in by invitation. Okay, so Christ is in us. In fact, Paul tells us over and over again, but especially let's use Galatians 2:22. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, okay, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Well, that's just good theology. Any preacher that's bona fide at all will tell you when you repent of your sins and invite Jesus into your heart, not only are you born again, but Jesus literally comes to live in you. Oh, are you starting to get the point here? Let's finish the verse. Nevertheless, I live, yet not Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So just basic, regular, normal theology is, in myself and you, if you're saved, Jesus lives in us. In fact, the Bible tells us our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit also. So Jesus did what he did by the power of the Holy Spirit with Father God helping him and living in him. And surely you don't question that. But Jesus said, we're going to do it. Now you begin to look at yourself and your failures and your inconsistencies and shortcomings and say, no way, Jose. But see, you're listening to the devil. You're listening to your fallen nature. Does Jesus Christ live in you? Okay. You say yes. Well, if you yielded yourself completely to Jesus, what would that look like? Well, I would probably love people better. I would forgive people. I would do good things. But wouldn't there be more than that? Jesus says you'll do his works and greater works. Because even though God is doing it through you, it's because Jesus lives in you. And because you have the same Holy Spirit that Jesus, the 12 and the 70 have, if yielded completely to Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit, would it just not make sense that you would do Jesus' works and greater works? And again, love, walking in love, that's a work of God. Forgiveness, oh, that's a work of God. But also casting out demons, laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, walking in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. You see, you've been sold a bill of goods if you read that verse and thinking, oh, that's just pie in the sky. Well, Jesus doesn't do. Jesus isn't into fluff. If Jesus says it, it's absolutely true. It's right. But it just makes sense that if I yield myself completely to Jesus and I allow the Holy Spirit to fill me, I would do exactly what Jesus says and I'd end up doing what he does. Ta-da! And again, how does that begin in prayer? Verse 13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. In other words, Jesus says, you step forward by faith. Allow me to direct you, put my desires within you, empower me by your Holy Spirit. I will do it. You know, a lot of people who have been trained in wrong theology, well, because of a dispensational truth, that just isn't true anymore. Well, that's a lie. I've seen miracles, healings, and deliverances and experienced them myself. Who are you trying to fool? But if you don't believe it's true, and you won't have faith for it, and you won't think that Jesus wants to do that or the Holy Spirit could help you to do that, but the Bible says that's not true. And to those people who yield themselves completely to Jesus and say, okay, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you tell me, and I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill, empower me, immerse me, baptize me, Lord Jesus, in the Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord Jesus, I can do your works and greater works, knowing that it's you that are doing them through me, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and your life is just being demonstrated supernaturally through me. Doesn't that make perfect sense? Are you excited now? I mean, what's it supposed to look like that Jesus lives in you and you're a new creature in Christ and your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit? Well, let's remind ourselves the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In other words, if I yield to the Holy Spirit, and no one seems to struggle with this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, okay, joy, oh, the joy of the Lord is our strength, peace, shalom, well-being in every area of our life, long-suffering, okay, meekness, a teachable spirit, temperance, self-control, goodness, faith, and action, gentleness, or faith, or faithfulness. Nobody struggles with that. Oh, yes, if I would just yield to the Holy Spirit, I would be more loving, I would have joy, and I'd walk in peace. So why don't you do it? The Holy Spirit's there. Didn't you say, Jesus, be Lord of my life? Now, again, we're growing. No one does it perfectly. Because of the world, the flesh, and the devil, yes, you are tempted, and you have to really get serious about yielding and walking with Jesus. That's the absolute truth. And the Christian life is a battlefield. Be assure me, I teach spiritual warfare all the time, and if you've listened to me very much, you know that. But I tell you, the reality is Jesus yielded to, and a spirit-empowered person will do Jesus' works and greater works. And see, that will cause you then to not have to. And again, many denominations do this. You know, if you don't believe something, well, you're not going to preach it. You're going to avoid it. Or somebody talks about it, you'll just you don't have to pay attention to that. Well, that's a dangerous thing to do with the Word of God. So now, in light of what Jesus said, then let's go to the end of the book of Mark and what Jesus says to you and I. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Do you believe that's still relevant? Well, sure, we want everyone to get saved. I don't want anyone to die and go to hell. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, born again, become a Christian. But he that believeth not shall be damned. That means you're going to hell. You know that, right? And these signs shall follow those who believe. That's born again Christians who Jesus lives in and are filled, controlled, immersed in the Holy Spirit. In my name. Again, it's always in Jesus' name. It's not in my name. It's not in your name. The authority is given to us by Jesus. Jesus says, use my name, because you're my disciple. You're my son or daughter, right? Okay. In my name, they shall cast out demons. You have that authority by the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And Jesus trained and equipped the disciples for this. There is training and equipping, but you still can do it. In my name they shall cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. And let's be honest, that doesn't take place until you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And just like on the day of Pentecost they spoke with tongues, you can speak in tongues too. Okay. Through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They shall take up serpents. Okay, something evil comes against you. There's many understandings to that. You have authority. And if they drink any deadly thing, it should not hurt them. I pray over my food and I claim that blessing. Okay, but here it is again. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So you by faith yielded to Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, being obedient to Jesus as he directs you. Remember, he's supposed to direct our steps. You're not like you're going to do it 24-7, but he will lead you when you see a sick person and you're yielded to him and allowing the Holy Spirit. Lay hands on him. So you lay hands on him in Jesus' name. You command that sickness to be gone, for the person to be healed, for the full benefit of the stripes of Jesus to be made manifest in their spirit, soul, and body, or however God directs you to pray. And Jesus heals them. You know, especially coming out of a Baptist background, people would look at me, you can't heal anybody. What did I ever say I could heal anybody? Jesus is the healer. But Jesus works through people. Remember the 12? Remember the 70? And now Jesus says, it's not going to stop. You're going to do this. You're going to cast out demons. You're going to speak with new tongues. Yes, I do. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Seen it happen. Take up serpents. Something evil comes against you. Absolutely true. But it's to those that are yielded to Jesus. Understand they have the authority and are empowered, which means filled, yielded to the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit quickens them to do these things, they do it. That just makes sense, doesn't it? So I don't want you to think this is pie in the sky. Jesus did everything he did by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we just read in verse 10, Father God was doing it in him. So it makes sense that Jesus would tell us, hey guys, I want you to do my works and greater work because I will come to live in you. You will have the same Holy Spirit I have. Father God will be helping you too. You see why it works? You see that Jesus didn't lie? Of course he doesn't lie. But this is a reality. This is something you need to say, Lord, okay, I see it. And you need to get more serious in your prayer life. Lord Jesus, I'm willing to do these things. Show me, guide me. Holy Spirit, direct me. Get into the Word. Get some faith. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You see, you still, because you've been taught wrong, have a little question mark still in your mind. Well, the only way that's going to get erased is by getting into the Word, reading it, praying over it, and the Holy Spirit will confirm to you the truths of God's Word. Who's the best teacher in the whole world or in the universe? The Holy Spirit. And as you spend time in the Word and in prayer, God puts desires within you and I to do godly things. Yes, to love, to forgive, to bless, to help. But even more of that, to cast out demons, to lay hands on the sick, to take up serpents, and to bless your food and believe that if you drink or eat any deadly thing, it's not going to harm you. I pray that every day and hadn't had any problems. Do you understand that? The Word of God is true. So I'm just trying to build some faith in you. I'm just reading the Word of God and giving you a little explanation of the reality. If you're saved, Jesus lives in you. If you're really saved, you have the Holy Spirit. Now, again, there's a second work of grace called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And you want to drive a Baptist crazy, tell them that. Of course, I used to say the same thing, so it's not like I can say anything with condemnation. But you know, most Pentecostal and non-denominational preachers used to be Baptist. But then they got into the Word and had some experiences with the Holy Spirit based on the Word of God. And they think, well, this is for today. Which I always was rejoicing, even as a young Christian, with that one beautiful verse, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is who he is all the time. And you know he'll be who he is in you and I if we repent and give our lives to him. And Holy Spirit, oh, he's powerful. And he's powerful in anyone that is yielded to God and available, that's the key, not how talented or gifted you are available to God and willing to be used by him. Oh, I pray that's you. I want to encourage you today. Remember the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, workings of miracles with creative miracles, gifts of healings, the discerning of spirits, prophecy, gift of faith, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, diversity of tongues, interpretation of tongues. God says to covet those gifts. That means to really, really want them, and he'll really, really give it to you. You have to press in, but again, if you've been taught wrong, it may take you a little while because that doubt, fear, and unbelief, boy, those are powerful boogers. You understand? But most of all, I want you to leave here knowing this, that you're not going to heaven unless Jesus lives in you. And Jesus didn't come in you by getting baptized or getting confirmed. He came when you, under the Holy Spirit's conviction, saw really who Jesus was, and you said, Jesus, here it is. Lord Jesus, I come to you right now, and I repent of all my sins. I believe you died for my sins, and you rose again on the third day. I believe, Lord Jesus, it's your blood that cleanses my sins. Jesus, I'm coming to you right now. I repent of all my sins. Jesus, come into my heart and life. Be my Savior and Lord of my life. I give myself to you completely, both now and forever. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org or send an email to Pastor Gary. His email is garycolt@yahoo.com. Please join them again next week as they continue to expound on God's truth in a relevant and practical way.